beautiful song. Well, I certainly ask for your prayers tonight. Physically, spiritually, I just am having a horrible problem with my throat tonight, but I know the Lord can give us what we need. I want to read some scripture from the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah. If you would care to read with me, please turn there to Nehemiah chapter 4. And I want to read the first six verses to start tonight for a scripture reading. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And that's what I want to use for a title tonight, The People Had a Mind to Work. Now, Nehemiah was among the post-exile Jews, those returning from the Babylonian captivity. The books of Ezra and Esther and Nehemiah cover that time period. And if you study the book of Ezra, you're going to read mainly about the rebuilding of the temple. And the book of Nehemiah, you're going to read mainly about the rebuilding of the wall. In the beginning of the book, the book of Nehemiah opens with Nehemiah inquiring as to the state of the Jews, those post-exile Jews. And he was told that by Hanani, one of his brethren, he was told that the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem, and they said, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. This is in the first chapter. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now Nehemiah didn't take this news very well. The Bible says that it came to pass in the fourth verse, and it came to pass when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. And so this news was something that concerning the state of the holy city, the gates burned, the wall broken down, was something that really, troubled Nehemiah, and it drove him to his knees. There's a lot of things today that ought to drive us to our knees, that ought to really trouble us. I'm not sure if they are troubling us the way that they should be. I know that we're troubled about some things, but I'm not sure if we're burdened the way that we ought to be about them. Well, Nehemiah, I believe he was. I believe his response here was very appropriate. And it became his great desire to rebuild this wall. And if you look in the second chapter, the Bible tells us there about the 17th and 18th verse, as Nehemiah began to tell of the burden that he had and the desire that he had in his heart to rebuild the wall, when he began to let people know what was in his heart, in the 18th verse of the second chapter, it says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Now, the condition that the holy city of Jerusalem was in at this time, and if you've studied at all the book of Daniel, you've read about how that when Daniel was in captivity there in Babylon, when the decree was made that if anybody was found praying to their God, that they were to be punished, they were to be thrown into the den of lions, and Daniel would go up into his upper chamber, and with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he would pray. Now, he was somewhere. I'm not very good at geography, but if I understand right, when Daniel would do that, when he would pray there in Babylon towards Jerusalem, he was about 500 miles away from that, but he would open his windows and he would pray towards the holy city, Jerusalem. Jerusalem was very important to these people, and it really got next to Nehemiah when he heard the condition that it was in, and so he shared with the people his burden, and the Bible says they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now, what needed to be done, the rebuilding of the wall and the rebuilding of the gates and the rebuilding of the temple there in Jerusalem and all this work that had to be done that had been torn down and destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in the times that he would go and siege Jerusalem there. And finally, in the days of Zedekiah, when Zedekiah was king, Jerusalem was destroyed and burnt. And this process of rebuilding, it wasn't going to get done by itself. There was going to have to be labor in this in order for these things to be rebuilt. And so we're talking about in the book of Nehemiah about the rebuilding of the wall. Now we see in the beginning of this fourth chapter where I read, as it always is, when they set out to do something for the Lord, this was God's work that they were involved in. And when they set out to do something for the Lord, they had enemies. And it's always been that way, and it's still that way today. And I'll assure you that we have an adversary, just as the Bible tells us, that we have an adversary that is a roaring lion. He walks to and fro. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. And I assure you that Satan does not want us to have revival. And he will fight us. He will oppose us. He doesn't want, he doesn't like anything that has to do with God's work. He hates it. He despises it. He doesn't like those that try to do God's work. He will, manifest himself in different ways, but he will try to stop us, and if we let him, he will. And so What I wanted to talk to you about tonight was the fact that, as I said, that the people here, they set their minds to work. And I've shared this with the church before, and I'm going to repeat myself tonight. Sometimes people say, well, Brother Miller, you know, every once in a while somebody will mark something in their Bible and they'll say, well, Brother Miller, I remember one time that you had preached on that before, and that doesn't bother me a bit because I know it's only going to probably be a small amount of people that remember it anyway, if you're anything like me. But, but you know, we're never going to wear out God's Word. And I've shared this with you before about working, you know, just looking at things from a secular point of view. When I was just a young boy, I was taught to work. My dad just really believed everybody works. You know, you don't sit around and be lazy and be slothful and beg somebody else to give you something. You work. You work for what you want to have. And so when we were just very young, we began to learn how to work. And when I was, 10 or 11 years old, and I'm just stating the facts before you tonight. But when I was 10 or 11 years old, in the summer, when I would be out of school, I would go around the neighborhood, and the people that lived in the neighborhood, mostly the elderly people, they would hire me to help them work and do things in their yard, and they would give me a little bit of money. And as a boy, when I, me and my older brother and my friends, if we wanted to go maybe to the bowling alley or something like that, we didn't have to go, get money from Dad. We had money that we made working to go and spend on those things that, games that we wanted to play. When I was 13, the summer I got out of seventh grade, I got my first public job. I went to work that summer washing dishes in a restaurant that was close to my home. I worked about 60 hours a week that summer, and it didn't hurt me one bit. It didn't hurt me at all. It didn't warp me or anything. In fact, I believe it was good for me. And we worked and we made a little bit of money. And I remember one time, and I think I was probably about 6 months away from being old enough to drive, and I was trying to get ready for the day that I got my driver's license. I was so excited, that time was drawing close. And I remember, going to my dad, and I didn't have a whole lot of money saved up or anything, but I remember going, actually at the time I wasn't working anywhere. And I remember going to my dad and I saying, Dad, I said to him, I'm going to be driving here before too long, about 6 months, I'm going to get my driver's license. And boy, it sure would be nice to have a car to drive. And I remember he just looked at me and he said, well, I bet you could find you a job somewhere. And I mean, that was all that he, that was all his response was, if you want a car, go get a job and make the money and get a car. And so that's what I did. I went out and got another job washing dishes and began to work. And when I got enough work saved up, I bought me a 65 Chevy Impala, 327 4-speed. Wish I had one of them today. But working. Things don't get done without people working, do they? Look around us. Look around us, look at the factories and look at the houses and look at the things, look at the shopping centers and look at all the things that exist around us. How did they get there? They didn't get there by somebody, somebody didn't go out there and stand in the middle of a parking lot and said, let there be a Kohl's. I mean, we can't create like that. We have to work in order for things to get done. Well, the church is involved in a work. We are involved in the work of the Lord. And I say that if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to work. we are going to have to set our minds to work. It won't just happen. We will have to work towards it. I believe that God will bless our labors. But I don't believe that He blesses a slothful people. I don't believe that God blesses a lazy people. The church is a workforce. If you read even in the commission that the Lord gave the church, the nature of Great Commission is that of working. What did Jesus tell His church to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and those who are saved, you baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and then you teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded, and those things are the work of the Lord. Even when the preacher takes somebody into the baptistry to baptize them, there's labor involved in that. There's labor involved in preaching the gospel. There's labor involved in the church working, you know, the church coming together in an effort. What have we heard today? We've heard it made mention of a revival effort. Well, when somebody is putting forth an effort, what are they doing? They're laboring. They're laboring. Paul said in his writing to the Ephesians, and you hath he quickened, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I'm sorry, that's in the first verse. In the eighth verse, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ninth verse, not of works, lest any man should boast. Tenth verse, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Unto good works. Wherefore God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What did God do when He created us in Christ Jesus, when He saved us and He created us in Christ Jesus? What did He make out of us? Workers. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works, not good laziness. Good works. And before ordained that we should do those good works. What did Jesus say to His church? Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As Solomon said, all things are full of labor. I would hate to go around in life. There's people that do it. But I would hate to go around in life just, being lazy, being slothful, not willing to do anything, and just, begging and expecting somebody else to give me everything. I'd rather just work. I'd rather just work. I believe it's honorable. And I certainly believe that God would have us to work, to do His work. Work doesn't hurt you. You ever heard the saying, hard work never killed anybody? Well, that's true. I mean, I guess you could be working and get ran over by a truck, but people have worked. When God created Adam, what did He do with him? What did He do with him? He created him and He placed him there. God had planted a garden eastward in Eden, and He took Adam and He placed him in that garden to do what? To dress it and to keep it. To do what? To work. To go there and work in the garden. And that's what he was supposed to do. He was to take care of that which belonged to God. He was to work it. He was to dress it. He was to tend to it. He was to keep it. And friends, listen, that's what the church is to do today. We are to take care of the things that belong to God. We are to work his vineyard and tend to it. We're not to just let it go, are we? Today, around my house today, I was outside early this morning, and I was looking around, and around my house today, this morning, things looked pretty nice. But it took some work. It took some work to get it that way. Yesterday, I mowed the grass and I tilled the garden and I pulled weeds and did all kinds of stuff. I mean, it took labor to make it look right. And, I'll tell you what, if I don't do those things, it won't be very long till it'll be a mess. It'll be a mess. Everything will just be all grown up and it won't look good at all. Things like that just don't get done without working. And I'm going to tell you something, revivals just don't come about without people working, without the people of God getting into it and being of a mind to work and strengthening their hands for the work, because all things are filled with labor. Solomon was right. Secular things and spiritual things as well. Paul said, he spoke about the fact that Jesus ascended up on high and gave gifts unto men. To some apostles, to some prophets, to some evangelists, to some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you know preachers work? The ministry is work. It's work. There's a lot that has to be done in order to be ready to be able to stand and deliver the Word of God. There's labor, there's work that goes into that. And when we are delivering God's message, we're working, we're doing that work that He called us to do. And so we have a work to do, and the deacons have work to do, and the members of the church have work to do. I'm persuaded that all of God's people have work to do. The Apostle Paul, in his writing to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he wrote about this. And he said, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" Listen, I have planted. If you see somebody going out in their garden, out in the dirt, and they're making a row there, and they're planting seed, what are they doing? They're working, aren't they? They're working. Paul said, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." God blesses the work. "So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Listen, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. I heard just recently one of my pastor friends, he received a phone call from someone at the church where he pastored several years ago, all upset, called him up all upset, and was just, and he knew the situation, but this person called him up all upset and was telling him about all of the bad things that were happening at her church and were about to happen. And he, knowing the situation, he asked this person, he said, "Well, how long has it been since you've been there?" And she said, "About 4 years." I'll tell you what, if we don't work and maintain, everything falls apart, doesn't it? It's the same with spiritual things. It's the same with the church as it is with your house. If you don't keep things up around your house, it'll fall apart. I mean, it'll just turn into a mess. And the same thing with the church. There's work that we have to do. There's, you know, maintenance that has to be done. There's things that we have to keep up with as a church. And we have, you know, listen, a church always has work to do. We never run out of work because there's a whole world that's filled with lost people that need to hear the gospel and need to be saved and need to know about Jesus and need to know what we've got in our hearts and need to be told that they can have the same thing, and we could work around the clock and never get to all of them. There's a world filled with people who are lost and perishing, and we have got work to do. And I'm telling you, if we are going to see revival, if we're going to have success, we're going to have to be of a mind to work. To work. When we're here, when the gospel's being preached, listen, you know, as the people did there in the days of Nehemiah, they got themselves ready. They got ready to do this work. We've got to get ready. We've got to prepare for revival. For the work that's involved in it. To try to reach people. So when we come to revival, it's not just, you know, don't get down and pray and say, "Lord, when I go to the service tonight, give me a corner to hide in somewhere where nobody will see me and know that I'm there." But we need to ask the Lord, "Lord, what do you have for me to do?" The church called Brother Lovell to help in the meeting, as I said this morning, and you all pray for us, and if the Lord is willing, we will labor together in the gospel. We'll work to try to get the gospel message out to people. But we're not the only ones that have a work to do. Everybody that knows the Lord, that's a member of the Lord's church, has a work to do. To work towards the salvation of souls. When sinners are seeking the Lord, I'll tell you, when they're bowed and seeking the Lord and our hearts are burdened and we're pouring our hearts out to God, praying that the grace of God would come upon them and that they would be saved, we're doing the work of the Lord. And we need to be diligent in that. We need to be diligent in his work. I believe the work of the Lord is the most important work that goes on in the world. It's more important than the work that you do at your secular job. I don't care if you like that or not. It's the truth. It's more important than that. It's more important than the big semis that run up and down the roads moving stuff. It's more important than the skyscrapers being built. The work of the Lord is the most important work on earth. All these other things, you know, all these things that are being built, they're going to fall, and they're going to fail, and they're going to perish, and they're not going to last forever. But we are dealing with a work that affects the eternal welfare of souls. It's the most important work that there is. I'm afraid it doesn't get enough attention. Let's be of a mind to work. Tell you what, let's do. Let's come up here in the altar and let's pray together. And let's ask God to strengthen our hands. Let's ask God to strengthen our hearts and to strengthen our resolve and to get us ready to work, because we've got work to do. We got work to do. And I'll tell you what, you'll get out of it what you put into it. If we don't want to do anything throughout this next week, but just, you know, maybe just show up and hope that, you know, hope that we don't have anything to do, that's just about what will happen. But if we're willing to work, if we're willing to unite and work, God will work right along with us. That's what Paul said. We're laborers together with God. God will bless our work. You believe God will bless our work? You believe if we put our hearts into the work of the Lord that He'll bless us? If we plant and we water, you believe that God will give the increase? I do. I believe we'll see people saved, see the church grow, if we are of a mind to work. Will you come and pray?